servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fare starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Well, we're back, and music kind of ended a little ahead of us here today. But we're with Karen Hamelin, and Karen has written a very interesting article on Jordan. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful.
A little chilly here for Florida, is it not?
Yes, very.
A little. It went down to 53 last night, and here we are. I'm looking at the atomic clock, and, well, it's up to 68, so that's not so bad. Very interesting article that you've written on Jordan, and why don't you start out with how you got into this trip in the first place?
I got into this trip. It was a while back, and I was invited first to Israel, and then I guess from that list they got me and then called me and asked me to come to Jordan.
And this was kind of a career change when you got into this. I know we're dating the article a little bit, but you did write this some time back. And so you suddenly just decided, hey, I'm tired of what I'm doing. I'm going to become a travel writer. Now, you've been doing that for some time, but this was, what, your second trip, and here you are off to Jordan, of all places.
I know. I guess I kind of got lucky.
But a long trip. I mean, I've taken that Royal Jordanian flight, and it is a very long trip. And as you say, when you get on that airplane, there suddenly is a big change in your surroundings. First of all, brought on by the passengers.
Yeah. I mean, the crew members all look very Western. But sitting next to me on the plane, the women are all dressed in their burkas, and that was the first time I'd ever seen that. Like you said, it was only my second press trip.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah, and they were in burkas, and then every now and then the men would stand up and roll their mats out in the aisles and pray.
Yeah,
get on their knees and pray.
Yeah, that's a little unusual if you haven't been exposed to that. I've seen that happen at Disneyland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody always puts out their mats and just
does yeah
thing. I do it very naturally as if you know.
As if it's it's an everyday thing for them.
They pray exactly.
Like 3 to 5 times a day, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So that was very natural for them, but for me, it was like oh.
But Jordan is an extraordinary place, isn't it?
Yes. It's a very mystical place once you get outside the city. And there aren't that many big cities. I mean, Amman is probably the city.
Right. Otherwise, it's the beach resorts and the others in the desert.
Yeah, the desert and maybe the little villages.
Right.
And it's very, you really feel like you went back in time.
And yet the people are very, lovely and friendly.
Oh, very friendly. They were very cordial, very nice.
Very hospitable.
Yeah. There was no hostility or anything that I found, except when the guards got on the van when we crossed the border into Israel in Agadir.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of security in those areas.
Yeah. So, but that was kind of funny, actually.
And You went to, I don't want to get ahead of your story. Why don't you walk us through a little bit? You went to Amman, and then from Amman, where did you go off to, Jerash?
Yes, then we went to Jerash, and Jerash had all these ruins, and it was just magnificent. I mean, there's ruins everywhere, just like in Israel.
Well, all this Roman history and all of that that's all around those areas is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, that's like just a natural part of their scenery. I mean, there's no ticket to get in.
Right.
you know, it's not like a Disney World where they jazz it up. No tour guides, really, you know, that show you around. Right. You just kind of land there. You're going to see a Jerash, and you just, there you are. And there's
all of a sudden, as you say, you realize that you're walking in the tracks left by chariot wheels from 129 B.C.
Yeah.
Now, I got that feeling as well. I mean, I could just, of course, it's the movies that have taken us through it, but when you walk down, and I got that same feeling that, here is all this great history, and I'm walking in the tracks of Roman armies and chariot wheels.
Left those grooves. I mean, it's surreal. It's difficult to even comprehend because it's so long ago.
Yeah, except if you're riding in one of those vehicles.
Yeah, right. And it was we went on and we saw Hadrian. Am I saying his name right? The Ark that he built.
Oh yes, uh-huh.
The arch.
Uh huh.
And if you read about the history ahead of time, it's even more profound when you get
exactly,
there.
Because then you can really enjoy the history if you know it. Unless you're fortunate enough to have somebody with you, like a guide or a local that's very knowledgeable that can explain some of this. And
yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, okay, so you were on your own. Were you with a group of what, travel journalists?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then you went over to the Dead Sea, did you?
Well, we went to Umqua first, and that was one of the 10 cities of the Decapolis era.
Right.
The Greco-Roman era. And that was such a big cultural center. There were a lot of ruins there, like three theaters. And the amphitheater was just like it was left. You could see the granite seats, and you could see the imprints, where
people have been sitting over
there. Yeah, yeah. And the worn-out steps, because the people had been walking up and down them so long. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
So tell me about the Dead Sea.
Have you been to the Dead Sea?
Yes, I have. And like you.
You've been in it.
I had to. You had to do it. I mean, this little round body just floated around like it was nothing.
I had to try it. The others just stood on the shore, and I said, you got to try this. This is like, you'll never do it again. Well, first, I went and slathered some mud on, because right next to it is mud.
Yeah, mud things,
Yeah, therapeutic mud. And in Jordan, on the Jordan side of the Dead Sea, there's no, it's not resort-like. It's not built up like the Israeli side.
Right.
And so on the Jordan side, it was just like me and maybe two other people on the beach.
Right.
And there's just a few lawn chairs, and a changing place. And the mud baths are just some mud sitting there.
And one hotel with a restaurant.
Yeah. And it's not a grand hotel or anything. And so I went over and slathered some mud on. Again, no charge, no nothing. Waited for it to dry, It feels terrible, but.
But did you feel rejuvenated after you got it off? Or?
It's thick and it's dry and it crackles and.
Well, it's pretty old mud,
Yeah, and it was interesting to watch what happened on your arm or something. And then when it really dried, then I went into the Dead Sea. So no, that wasn't refreshing at that point.
Right.
And the Dead Sea. How do you describe it? It's real thick water.
Well, the solidity obviously is very high.
And, oh yeah.
It's unlike you certainly wouldn't scuba dive in there. That's for sure. You'd end up popping back up.
Yeah, you just can't help but float. And
yeah, it's terrific.
And what's weird is if you walk on the bottom, it feels like you're walking on these little piles of stalagmites.
Right.
Because the salt is in like little.
Encrusted on the bottom.
Encrusted and pointy.
Yeah.
so that was strange. And then of course I got out finally and rinsed off, and then I felt invigorated, rejuvenated.
Now, you stopped at some other places along the way, but the one place that you went that was so special, certainly to me, I just found it totally amazing, was Petra.
I think that's almost like the highlight of anybody's life.
I didn't ride on the cart that you did through those blocks and get bounced all over. I actually walked, and it's about 6 miles. And when you walk in that long corridor, it's mostly downhill. Coming back was a little different.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it, when you walk through that corridor, as you know, you could see all of these structures that before you even get to the treasury,
mm-hmm.
all of these water canals that they had built in those days, and it was incredible. So, but you took a ride with the horse and the cart, did you?
Yeah, and the cart was just this two-seater rickety thing.
Yeah, I know exactly.
and it was a little scary because I thought I was going to fall out a couple of times.
Right, and that's at that point where you wonder whether you should be walking.
Yeah. But I got there ahead of everybody.
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah.
So I got my camel first. They weren't all taken. And to describe how you come out of the sick when it's FIQ, before you see the treasury is, the walls of the stone walls are so high.
Right.
I think they're like 300 feet high, and you're this little thing walking through this crack in the earth.
Yeah, it's really really quite phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's very narrow, and then this treasury, just you turn a corner and bam, it's there, and it's all the sun's on it, and it just really takes you back.
And it also it also brings to light the Indiana Jones thing, because they use that as a backdrop for one of the movies, as you point out.
Yeah.
But the treasury, I thought was most impressive. But when you continued on and you could see these sculptured fronts of what were homes at one point in the side, you know, the sandstone.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible, was it not?
Yeah, it was like a whole city.
Yeah, exactly.
There were temples and there were theaters and there were baths and. All sorts of things that were beautifully carved.
It was a very civilized place at that time, certainly.
And they were very smart because the treasury is where it was just a facade, so that if their enemies were coming through the sick, I hope I'm saying that right.
that's fine. Sounds good to me.
Okay, if they're coming through there to invade. They wanted to get the money and stuff out of the treasury, and they would walk right into this cavernous room and then get ambushed because there's nothing in it.
Right, exactly. I was amazed when I went inside there. You thought you were going to see this beautiful marble or something. And
yeah.
It was not the case.
It's just vacant. And it was like, what a brilliant plan.
I thought that that your article was terrific, Karen, and I think that... our audience that's listening certainly appreciate you sharing that experience with us. We've got to run, but anyone that would like to read this in depth, if you're at your computer, you can just click on the grassroots button or the icon or whatever one wants to call it, and her article is there. And with some fabulous photos as well, a couple of them that I even took. So go to it, and you can read Karen's article in depth. Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure, and I hope we're talking to you again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Karen Hamlin, and a great article. I strongly suggest you... you have a look at. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Johnny Jett will be with us. Well, we're back, and we're joined by our friend Mr. Johnny Jett, as promised. And good morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?